Beloved congregation of the Lord, we are in that part of the Apostles' Creed where we confess that we believe in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, our Lord. And in the past few Lord's days, we have considered the name Jesus, Savior, and then the name Christ, the Anointed One. Today we come to that name, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord. And we want to consider that together from John 1 verse 14 and Lord's Day 13, question 33 and 34. John 1 verse 14, this is God's Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Lord, full of grace and truth. Lord's Day 13, question 33. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? And the answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God, by grace, for His sake. Question 34. Why do you call Him our Lord? The answer, because He has redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with His precious blood, and has delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus has made us His own property. The Lord's help, we want to consider this under the theme, God's only begotten Son, our Lord. First, Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And secondly, believers, also the children of God. And then third, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So first, Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Why is Christ called the Son of God? Does the Bible even say that? Oh, yes, it does. In Mark chapter 1, verse 11, God the Father speaks to Jesus, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Old Testament saints already knew that He would be God's only begotten Son. In Psalm 2, verse 7, the psalmist says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." So it would be God's Son, God's begotten Son, and the Jews in Jesus' day knew it too. They even knew Him as God's only begotten Son. And how would they know that? Because Jesus Himself spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "God so loved the world that He gave His..." what? His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we are sure, we are using biblical language this morning. And believers today know it too from the Holy Scriptures. The language of faith is this, because God's Word says it, we believe it. Scripture teaches Christ was not created. There's none other like Him. In a unique sense, Christ alone is the Son of God. It talks about His essential relationship to God the Father. And it tells us, beloved, that the Son of God comes forth from the Father heart of God. And He comes to proclaim good news. And today He sends His messengers to preach the gospel, to preach the only begotten Son of God, who came to be the servant of God. And when you are burdened with sin, burdened by the curse of the law, then this Son of God becomes so necessary. And when you realize you have transgressed all of God's commandments and stand guilty before Him, then this Son of God becomes so precious. because He is given to us, that we may find salvation in Him alone. Jesus Christ is called the Son of God because He is the eternal Son of God. There never was a time when He was not the Son of God. In the most mysterious ways of the Holy Trinity, God the Father fathered His Son. He is called the Son of God. Because salvation is free, it comes from God. It's His free gift to sinners. And it was as the Son of God that this great gift is laid down in a manger in Bethlehem. The Word was made flesh, says John in chapter 1, verse 14, and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we needed this because our deep fall closed the way from man to God. But in and through the only begotten Son of God, the way is opened up again from God to man. There's really only two possibilities when it comes to being a son. You're either a natural son or an adopted son. Christ is the only natural son of God. And God gave His only natural Son to be a curse, to be made sin, to die a cursed death, to be raised again the third day. God gave Himself in His only begotten Son. Do you see something this morning of the loving heart of God? How God the Father is moved with compassion so that hopelessly lost sinners like you and me may become adopted children of God. Is it not a wonder? Is it grace amazing? This is why John would have us behold the glory of the only begotten Son of God. John 1 verse 14, full of grace and truth. Oh, beloved, God takes sin very seriously. He can't pass by sin. He can't pretend not to see sin. He must punish sin with, as we have heard, extreme eternal punishment. He demands righteous blood for the forgiveness of sins. And God here in this name, the only begotten Son of God, opens His, as it were, His bosom for us and says, here's My Son, and I give Him for sinners like you. Well, what do you think of the only begotten Son of God? Do you love Him? Do you need Him? Do you ask for Him? You and I need Him to save us. We can't do it. But here is the only begotten Son of God. And God offers Him to sinners who in their natural state are under the curse of the law. Sinners who have turned their backs to God, lying in the midst of death. Totally undeserving sinners. And here He says, here is My gift to you so that you might be saved by Him. Call on Him now. The Bible tells us He is willing, He is able to save us to the uttermost. Completely. Why is He called the only begotten Son of God? Because He's the eternal, natural Son of God. God has only one natural Son. But you know what's so amazing? That God has multitudes of other children. His adopted children. That's our second thought. Believers, also the children of God. Jesus taught the Pharisees, and in teaching them, he taught us that by nature we are children of our father, the devil. That's our natural state. And if you are now today a child of God, that means you live by faith in the Son of God, in the promises of the Word of God. You live a life of faith and daily repentance. Maybe when you looked at Lord's Day 13 and you read the question 33, you got to that spot where it says, since we are also the children of God, then maybe that word we made you say to yourself, that doesn't include me. I'm not a child of God. I don't believe this gospel. I don't trust God. I don't take him at his word. My heart is still so hard. That's a very sad condition, isn't it? To be a church person, a baptized person, and not a child of God. But you know, the almighty and eternal Son of God can and does break stony hearts like yours and mine. He sends his Holy Spirit to apply the Word of God as it is proclaimed to us and to apply the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only the Son of God who breaks hearts that are as hard as rocks. And if today you are a child of God, it is only because the Son of God is your gracious Savior. Why are we called the children of God? You know that Adam, our original forefather, was once called the son of God. You read it in Luke chapter 3, and the genealogy of the Lord Jesus goes right back to Adam, and Adam was the son of God. And then he became a child of wrath, and we with him, Ephesians 2. And now today we are children of God only by being born again. That's the beginning of that new life. And that is only by the leading and the guidance and the adoption of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, that's scriptural language again. We are the children of God. How can it be? Well, we are adopted of God himself by grace. For Christ's sake. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only natural Son of God. All of God's other children are adopted. And it puts it here so beautifully. Only by grace. It's only by the grace of adoption that we are accepted as children of God. But that's the happiest condition possible here on earth. And it is a condition that endures forever. Of all who are given to him, none can be lost. We are declared righteous and made holy in communion, in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because being a child of God includes that we are in Christ. Adopted by grace for Jesus' sake. It's the only source of life. And we live out of him. To be a child of God means that you are elected, predestinated, adopted. There are families in this church and families we know who have adopted children. And we know that that adoption is not official until the paperwork is signed. Is that right? Adoption papers in this world are signed with ink. But the adoption papers of the children of God are not signed with ink. They're signed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is because they were chosen from before the foundation of the world. In human families, in this church too, most of the time, there are only natural children. Sometimes, there are families that have only adopted children. Then there's other families where the parents have natural children of their own, and they also have adopted children. But they're all their children. They love them with the same love. But there's not a single family that has natural and adopted children where the natural children paid for the adoption of the other children. Like Jesus, the older brother of God's adopted children, paid for them. Why are we called the children of God? See, these are the people who by faith see a difference in our lives. By the discovering light of the Holy Spirit, bringing the Word of God home, we saw that by nature we lived in unrighteousness or in self-righteousness. And yet by grace we began to see everything in light of the Word of God. And because of that, we began to see everything in Christ Jesus, and we've received a heart to trust Him and to love Him and to obey Him and to submit to Him. We are children of God through Jesus Christ alone, born again to proclaim His glory. For the adopted children of God, everything revolves around Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's only through the only begotten Son of God that a child of wrath becomes a child of God by way of adoption. We are brought to the Father heart of God. And then we see the accomplishments of the Son of God. We see the nail scars in His hands. By faith we see the hole in His side. And we see how He has merited all of this on the cross, and in His resurrection, and in His ascension. And we learn that we need the only begotten Son to save us completely. We need Him not only for our justification, but we need Him just as much for our sanctification. That's His work too, through the Holy Spirit. So may I ask you this morning, are you an adopted child of God? If so, then there a change came in your life. Maybe you don't know the exact time. You can't pinpoint exactly when it began, but you know what it means to cry, "Give me Jesus, or else I will die." And you mean it. All the adopted children of God were all by nature children of wrath, and now are all in the same place as you are, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to the eternal Son of God. We are called the children of God because we are adopted by God, by grace, for Christ's sake. That is a summary of the salvation of a sinner. That excludes man's work completely. Praise God for that. In adoption, nothing of ours is included. The Lord doesn't need anything from us. We have such a beautiful picture of that in the Lord's Supper. When the Lord's Supper is administered, you have this picture of a family gathering. The family of God. A little foretaste of the banquet in heaven. And God the Father calls all his adopted children to the table for supper. And the host at that table is the only begotten, eternal, natural Son of God. And the adopted children are called to come and to eat and to drink. And what do they eat and drink? By faith. The body, the broken body and the shed blood of our older brother. And we celebrate the Lord's Supper together with that older brother. Can you imagine a greater display of love than that? You know, when you talk to parents who have both natural children and adopted children, they will tell you, we love all our children with the same love. And we think, wow, that's special. It is. But you think that's special? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in his high priestly prayer in John 17. He's praying for his adopted brothers and sisters. And says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it. Now listen carefully. So that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So the love wherewith God the Father loves God the Son is in his adopted children. That same love. Dear child of God, you cannot be loved more than you are. You are loved by God with the same love wherewith he loves his only begotten Son. That only begotten Son of God whom we call our Lord. Question 34, why do you call him our Lord? And the answer, because he has redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, and has delivered us from all the power of the devil, and has made us his own property. The only begotten Son of God is our Lord. And the name Lord means owner, possessor, master. He owns us. He has a right to us. We belong to him, that the church of God becomes the property of Christ. Because he paid the ransom price for us with his blood, with his life. The Son of Man, says Jesus of himself, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. For many adopted children. We are redeemed, soul and body, from all our sins, we confess. Not with gold and silver. Well, you take all the treasures of the whole world, put them all together, and that could not pay the price of satisfying God's justice. The most valuable things on earth are worthless here. But God's only begotten Son gave His precious blood. And in that blood was the holy life of the only begotten Son of God. In that blood He gave His soul a ransom for many. Are you among them? Are you by grace a child of God? Have you ever tried to calculate the value of that blood? It can't be done. Well, dear believer, the price paid to ransom you is so incredibly high. Let's call it what Scripture calls it in 1 Peter 1:19, the precious blood of Christ. Because in that blood, you see the complete suffering of the Son of God who took away the sins of the world. Oh, dear adopted child of God, the Son of God, in his life here on this earth and evermore perfectly obeyed His Father in your place. He did not push away the cup of God's wrath, but He drank it to the last drop for you. Do you see Him as that criminal bound before Caiaphas, whipped and punched and spat upon for you? Do you see Him crowned with thorns and robed in purple, beat on His head with a reed for you? Do you see Him on the cross in those 3 hours of darkness, the Father hiding His face from His Son? Do you see Him bearing the heavy burden of God's wrath against sin for you? Do you hear Him in your place crying that awful cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's what it means when He said He gave His life a ransom for many. We have little more to say yet, but let's sing first. Number 112. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. 112, all four verses. Dear adopted child of God, you were bought with a high price. It cost God the Father His only begotten Son to ransom our souls. And then that Son of God, He comes as the deliverer to set us free. He brings us out of the service of sin to the liberty of God's children. He's redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins. He delivers us not from the temptations or the attacks of Satan, but from the very power of the kingdom of darkness. Satan is no longer our master. His power over us is broken. The Lord Jesus, in biblical language, has entered the house and bound the strong man. We heard last Lord's Day from Luke 4 and Isaiah 61 that Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And those prisons, doors of sin's bondage, can have many and different locks on them. Think, for example, of the bondage of addictions to alcohol, to drugs or pornography, or addiction to materialism, the bondage to self-centeredness, to living only in the here and the now, the bondage of self. But the Son of God, who led Peter out of a prison that had thick stone walls and steel doors with guards in front of them, is mighty to lead all of his redeemed ones out of the dominion of the devil and into his eternal freedom. And soon those who are already delivered now shall go home. And what a day that shall be! Praise the Lord, O my soul. The Son of God sets prisoners free. And he himself said, if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. What foolish people then, don't you think, who imagine themselves to be free? But I ask you, are you really free without the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you free without faith and repentance? Are you free without being adopted as the children of God by grace? Are you free while still being your own master? Are you really free while you're still firmly tied inescapably to sin and loving that sin? Are there such dreamers listening this morning? Baptized people who've confessed faith, perhaps even attended the Lord's Supper, and are counted among the people of God, and yet do not possess the freedom of the redeemed church of the Lord Jesus Christ. With the Jews, you may say, we were never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free? Really? Has the devil bewitched you with his lies? That's only imaginary freedom. There is no freedom outside of the only begotten Son of God. True believers say, I am not my own. I am the property of the Son of God. But some of you are still saying, I'm my own master. Well, what will you have to say, my friend, when you soon stand before the judgment seat of the Son of God? If you've said all your life, we will not have this man, the Son of God, to reign over us. That very same man, whom you would not have to reign over you, shall say in Luke 19, verse 27, but those my enemies who would not that I would reign over them, bring here and slay them before me. And that's only the beginning of the end of all those who despise the service of the Son of God. And imagine yourself to be free while in the bondage of sin and falsehood. And then it will be eternal bondage in hell. But see, that's why the gospel call comes from Ephesians 5. God has said, awake you who sleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. And those who are awakened, just like the prodigal son, have come to themselves. You are aware of your slavery to sin and your inability to break those bonds. Now the Son of God is willing and able to break the strongest chains of sin. He's able to tear the toughest ropes of unrighteousness to shreds. Repent and believe the gospel, trusting in the Son of God alone. Only then will you be delivered from your imaginary freedom. But then you shall be free indeed, with true freedom, as the property of God's only begotten Son, our Lord, who gave His all, His blood, His life, His soul, His self, to lead His church into His service of love. Now, there is peace and joy and true freedom to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your master, who is able to keep you soul and body as His property, to keep you safe against all the powers of the world and death and hell. That's why the psalmist says, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Seeing He is your King, bow down before Him." And maybe you're filled with doubt and self-accusations because you serve this God with such little zeal and so weakly from your heart. And perhaps you, along with me, understand the language of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 only too well. "For the good that I want to do, I do not do. But the evil which I do not want to do, that's what I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" When the only begotten Son of God is your Lord, and you confess Him to be such, then you are being conformed to the image of God's Son by the Holy Spirit. And part of that process of sanctification is that you begin to hate sin. And you begin to see more and more sin in yourself especially, but also in others, in your family, for example. And you begin to see the Word of God as your rule for life, guiding you through this life. And you begin to notice that there's a spiritual struggle going on of the flesh against the Spirit. The Spirit wants you always to do what is right according to the Word of God. And then your flesh goes against that and fights against it. And when your flesh wants to go against the Word of God, the Spirit fights it. And it is and will always be a struggle. But in the meantime, there's something else happening too. It's not just inwardly. It's also outwardly. Also in the way we speak with other people. In our conversations with others. Also with other believers. We begin to speak of our grief. That we are still so earthly, so sinful. And we no longer speak lightly about our sins, even sins of the past. We remember, He redeemed me with His precious blood from all my sins, also those sins that I formerly bragged about to other people. Oh dear younger and older believers, you who have confessed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is your ransom price. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of drunkenness, the sin of adultery, the sin of materialism, the sin of carelessness, the sin of cold-heartedness, the sin of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The Son of God died for those sins. But he also rose again from the dead for those sins to set you free, dear believer. Free from sin. Not free to sin, but from sin. So how we need to come again and again to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the forgiveness of all our sins. Every day afresh, we sin. And every day anew, we may come and draw from the wells of salvation. Adopted children of God need to keep in mind that in God's delivered people, there still lives so much of that old flesh nature. That at times it can seem as if we're captive all over again in bondage. Are you sorry that you serve God so little? With such little zeal? Does it pain you that you still grieve God so often? Then remember something. It is Christ's zeal and Christ's perfect service that is the ground for your salvation. Be encouraged. Though your service is a struggling service, maybe a stumbling service, a falling service, sometimes it seems like no service at all, but your Lord, who has bought you and delivered you, keeps his eye on you. And what's even greater, he keeps you in his hand. Unbelievably almighty divine hand of the only begotten Son of God. One final thought here this morning. Dear adopted children of God, what is true for one believer is true for all believers. Statement here, you are all children adopted of God by grace for Christ's sake is true for all believers. Jesus has redeemed all of you, body and soul, from all your sins with his blood. He has delivered you and all God's children from all the power of the devil. And Jesus has made all of God's children equally his own property. So let there be no divisions between the adopted children of God. Let's build some bridges toward each other these days by seeking forgiveness of each other. And readily forgiving each other. And remembering that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear believer, that was shed for you, was shed for that other person too. That same blood that saved you and cleanses you, cleanses him too. That's why the Apostle Paul says we are to be forbearing each other. And forgiving each other. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye, as the adopted children of God. Amen. Let's close with prayer. O Lord, our God, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we have had a little glimpse this morning into a loving heart of God the Father, who gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as part of that not perishing, would receive the adoption. Lord, all your children on this earth are adopted by God, by grace, only for Christ's sake. And we pray, O Lord, that this Son of God may be and become ever more and more precious to all of us. And that we would live out of him and live unto him. That we would realize what we have in him, the great grace that is in us. That we would realize that the love wherewith our Heavenly Father loves his only begotten Son, that same love is in us. Oh Lord, how amazing is thy grace. And so we pray, Lord, that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And bless those who are still strangers to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord. And let this be the day of thy power, the day of thy grace, for all those in our congregation who are yet outside of Christ. Lord, bless us when we leave here. The few of us who are here, bring us safely home and grant that we may come again this afternoon and that we may join our congregation, our church family once again by means of sermon audio. That it may be to the praise of the Lord our God and the exaltation of the only begotten Son of God. In his name we pray. Amen.